Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, and Green Bay. ProfHearingCare.com. By Blaine's Farm and Fleet, serving Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa, and Michigan with 45 locations and everything you need for life in the Midwest. Shop online anytime at farmandfleet.com. And by Huntworth Gear, engineered for performance and available at Blaine's Farm and Fleet and other retailers or at huntworthgear.com. I'm Dan Small. Today, advice for selecting broadheads and fletching for bow hunting and threats to the Mississippi River and Great Lakes. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. And if you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupie and Abraham, named Best Personal Injury Law Firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Hupie and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupie and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit hupie.com. And all 11 offices of Hupie and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. Well, Jeff Kelm joins us from his home in Wisconsin Rapids, back home for a week after a blur of tournaments. Jeff, how was last weekend's National Walleye Tour event in Dunkirk?
It's been a blur, Dan. This whole
blur.
You used the right term there. I'm pretty sure it was good. No, it was a good time in Dunkirk. First time I've been in New York, Dan.
Really? Wow. Well, you know, I grew up fishing Lake Erie, and Dunkirk and Silver Creek were two of my dad's favorite places to fish. We fished around Buffalo when I was a kid, but then later he ventured farther south, and there's some great bass fishing there now, isn't there? Along with the walleyes.
Yeah.
Now, this was a walleye tournament, right?
This was a walleye tournament. Yeah, we actually, we stayed at an Airbnb in Silver Creek right alongside Silver Creek.
Cool.
So I got to wade in some of the waters. Maybe, you did as a young boy. So
that's
kind of neat. But, it was in Dunkirk, of course, summertime in Dunkirk, and really that whole, eastern side of Lake Erie is just filthy with walleyes. And the guys caught a whole bunch of them. The winning pro angler, David Hosington, he had a great couple of days. He had a 37-pound bag on day one and a 32-pound bag on day two with five fish, which is really good right now out of that east side. There's just so many fish in the 5 to 6 pound range for him to find fish, you know, averaging closer to, you know, 6.5 to over 7 at any point in time is just pretty incredible. And being consistent with it for a couple of days, that was the biggest challenge for these anglers, is that one day they would catch 30, 31 pounds, and the next day it was only 27, which sounds like it's close, but when everybody is doing that, if you dropped a pound or 2 pounds from one day to the next, you're out of it. I mean, you'll drop 30 spots. It was really that close.
Now, how do guys decide which tournament series they're going to compete in? There's the MWC and the one, this was the National Walleye Tour, the NWT. I know some people fish both, don't they?
Yeah, they do fish both. So the Masters Walleye Circuit is a true team event. So it would be you and I sign up together. We fish together.
Fun.
The National Walleye Tour. Yeah, it would be. The National Walleye Tour is a pro-am event. So it would take a pro angler and an amateur angler sign up separately. And then, through random draw, they could be paired together, to fish together. And then that, amateur would actually fish in two different boats. They'd fish with one pro one day and a different pro the next day. And, so you don't know what you're, you know, as a co-angler, what we call them, or amateur, you never know what your day's really going to look like, because you don't know who you're going to go with until you get drawn. And, you know, it's a little bit of a luck of the draw. You hope you're with somebody or a couple of guys that really are on some fish.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what did you do in your week off? I bet you went fishing.
It was, I did go fishing. We're getting ready to head to our, annual Mercer trip, my son and I. And so, we did some improvements on the boat over the course of the last year. And I really haven't had a chance to mess with, a lot of the electronics and things like that. So I took it out and, took my daughter out fishing one day and, we had a great day. We stumbled upon, some really solid bluegills on a local lake. That I really wasn't expecting. I thought maybe I could at least, get the bobber to drop a few times for her. And we ended up just putting on a clinic. I mean, everybody on the lake knew we were catching fish. There was no doubt about it. That little, 8-year-old girl was, there was no way she was staying quiet every time that bobber went down. So, it was fun. It was a lot of fun to have that experience with her. She was super excited. She says she wants to be a pro angler when she grows up, which I hope isn't true. But but she had a good time.
Wonderful.
That day.
Well, great. Well, I'm heading to Chattanooga this week for the annual Outdoor Writers Association of America conference. We meet once a year somewhere in the U.S. Last year it was in El Paso. I did not go, and I haven't been in several years. But I'll be doing that, and I'll be doing a little fishing for bass and catfish while I'm there. And then I hop over the mountains to North Carolina. My brother Mike lives there. I'll spend a few days fishing with him and then head home. So my next report will be from the road, but I think you'll be home. So we will manage to connect somehow.
Yep. I'll actually be home
all
here
right
for a little while.
Well, coming up, folks, with just over a month to go before archery deer season, wildlife biologist J.C. Chamberlain offers advice for choosing broadheads and fletching if you're looking for some new arrows. And water quality expert Mark Schultz urges action to restore funding for research and management on the Upper Mississippi River and the Great Lakes. All that and more straight ahead on Outdoors Radio.
A Blaine's Farm and Fleet original story.
Why is everyone coming on their riding mowers and UTVs?
I figured all the neighbors could use a break from yard work, so I invited them for a...
Ooh, a ride-on lawnmower movie?
Or, as I like to say, a movie.
For beautiful lawns, backyard parties, and everything in between, we've got the values you need to do things your way. Blaine's Farm and Fleet. Be an original.
Step outside, let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Plan some trail riding fun in Florence County. Try the 17-acre ATV park with hills, mud puddles, and dunes near Fisher Lake. Hike to 3 waterfalls from Trail F5, 60-foot breakwater falls, 22-foot LaSalle falls, and Washburn falls. Camping options include several ATV-UTV-friendly campgrounds. Come take a ride. For more info, go to the Recreation tab at exploreflorencecounty.com.
Get ready for the ultimate outdoors and family adventure. Game Fair 2025. America's original since 1982, Game Fair runs 6 big days, August 8th, 9th, and 10th, and August 15th, 16th, and 17th, at the Armstrong Ranch in Ramsey. Try your hand at archery, test the latest hunting gear, and bring your dog for field demos and competitions. Game Fair 2025, where the outdoors comes to life. More info and tickets at gamefair.com.
Are you ready to wake up the deep bite? Meet the Gold Miner 30 from Rapala, your new secret weapon patrolling the depths to wake up your next trophy catch. This hard-running bait dives fast to 30 feet with a wide-tail swing and a loud rattle, built to fire a big walleye, lake trout, northern pike, muskie, and more. Whether you're working the breaks on Lake of the Woods or chasing giants on Mille Lacs, the Gold Miner 30 tracks true at any speed and comes in 20 proven colors. Find yours now at Rapala.com or your favorite fishing retailer.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. Huntworthgear.com. That's Huntworthgear.com.
Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with professional hearing care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp telling stories and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Joining me now from La Crosse, Wisconsin is Mark Schultz. He's a retired UW Extension Resource Agent for La Crosse County, and previous to that, he worked as an area agent for seven counties in eastern Wisconsin, where he worked with the Regional Planning Commission. And you may remember, at least those of you in southeast Wisconsin, the Deep Tunnel Combined Sewer Project. He was involved with that. So he's been involved with water quality issues for many years. Today, he's a member of a group called Sustain Our River. It's a group of residents, businesses, and field experts dedicated to a healthy Mississippi River. And on August 4th, Mark moderated a press conference held by Sustain Our River at the Black River Community Center in La Crosse. Sustain Our River is focused on the upper Mississippi, which of course forms our western border with Minnesota and Iowa, and drains much of the country's midsection. And we'll ask him about that group and the purpose of the press conference. Mark, thanks for joining us, and welcome back to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Hey, good to talk with you.
Yes, it is. It's been a while. We've chatted occasionally, but I haven't had you on the show in quite a while. And I got to ask you now, last weekend, we're all aware of the terrible flooding in Milwaukee and West Allis. What do you think that might have done to the combined sewer there?
Those combined sewer overflows would be large because combined sewer means the sanitary sewer and then the storm sewer mixed together. And when you got that much rain, a deep tunnel built up fast. Now they have to meter that out and treat it. So let's hope you don't get any rain for a while.
Yeah, for sure. We've had plenty of rain here this summer, but it's been an inch or two at a time and nothing to be really concerned about, has it?
Yeah, we're sort of the same. It was kind of dry in April, but by the time May got here, everything was nice and green.
Yeah, for sure. Well, what was the reason for your August 4th press conference?
Well, if you remember, there was a process going on in Washington with called DOG, DOGE, whatever it was.
DOGE, yeah.
And they were finding places to cut the budget. This is my opinion, okay? They really didn't know what they were looking at except numbers. And so if it was a big number, that was important. This is what I understood. They were trying to save the government money. But in the process, they eliminated a number of important things for the river, and not only the river, the Great Lakes also. So there's the Mississippi River Habitat Program, which was established in 1986 by Congress, and it established that the river was a important national ecosystem and an important national commercial transportation system. So you see the upper river has 26 locks and dams, and those are so that commercial transportation has enough water depth. But when they created those in the 1930s, like Lake Onalaska, where I live, the gates were closed in 1937. And that created these huge shallow pools. In the case of Pool 7, 18,000 acres, with interspersed with islands and all the kinds of things that wildlife and fish love. But what happens when you put a dam on a river, it starts collecting sediment. So 60 or 70% of the capacity of the reservoir has now been lost to sedimentation.
Oh, my.
And it's had an impact on fish and wildlife habitat. Plus, they have to keep the main channel clear. And back in the old days, they just sidecast the sand or material that they were dredging for the channel. Well, that got changed, I think, through litigation, and now they try to make beneficial use of that sand, and a lot of it is put in piles at locks and dams, and towns, cities, villages, counties come and get that sand for all kinds of purposes, private contractors. They can get it for nothing. Then it doesn't end up back in the river. It's a good program. And then over the years, the habitat projects have restored about 100,000 acres of backwater habitat on the river. That sounds like a lot, but there's a lot out there. And essentially, the budget for that got zeroed out. Now, even more problematic is the USGS Science Center. Historically, they were called the Fish Lab, and they were in La Crosse. Now it's the USGS on the French island. They developed lamprecide for the Great Lakes, and they still work on that program and kind of oversee it. There's a number of labs all in the United States, science labs. They all got zeroed out for their budgets, and essentially you're going to close them. Of course, the staff then got relieved of their jobs, and I think they're still around until the 30th of September, and that's why we took action. We said, well, maybe we can get Congress to look at this and say, hey, maybe that's not a good thing to do. So we called the news conference to announce that our purpose was to try to inform people that if you want a healthy river and if you don't want those lampreys in the Great Lakes, you better ask your congressional people to restore some funding so that can go forward. Because when you have something like that, it took years to build up the expertise and the know-how. There are field staff out there that know how to do it, but there still needs the oversight of the science lab to make the program better. That's essentially what motivated us. And then there's 160 miles of National Wildlife Refuge between Nelson, Wisconsin and Wabasha, Minnesota, okay?
Yeah.
So when you say Nelson, Wisconsin, people go, huh, where's that? But they know where Wabasha is.
Yeah.
Downstream to Alton, Illinois, that was established, and I can go through here some of the history of the federal investment on the river. So in 1824, they tasked the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to remove tree snags. That's so the steamboats could carry people and commodities up and down the river.
Sure.
Then in 1878, they did a 4-foot channel project. 1907, a 6-foot channel project. Those things really didn't provide adequate water for the steamboats. And in 1924, the Upper Mississippi River National Wildlife and Fish Refuge was established. And that was probably the first large national conservation or environmental movement of consequence, where much of the upper river was then put in the National Wildlife Refuge. And how that was going to happen was that the government was going to essentially buy from willing sellers. Well, then in 1935, the 9-foot channel project, which was 26 locks and dams, came along, and that was part of the fair recovery from the Great Depression, put people to work, and it also established enough water so that commercial navigation could move up and down the river. So what that created was these big pools of shallow water, because the dams aren't very tall. They're about 6-7 feet tall.
Yeah.
Then in 1959, the Fish Control Lab came to La Crosse. In 74, Great River Environmental Action Team was created by the St. Paul District to what's going on the river, what do we need to fix? You know, as Leopold said, you got to keep all the pieces, right?
Mm-hmm.
Upper Mississippi River Basin Commission created for a master plan for the river. And then the Fish Control Lab moved to French Island in 78. And in 82, the Basin Commission sent a river management plan to Congress. And after that, the Basin Association, which was a state, the states, that would be Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, and Missouri. They formed the Basin Association, and they were the keeper of the plan. And then in 1986, the Upper Mississippi River System Management Act was passed into law, and that provided money for habitat projects and money for long-term resource monitoring. They essentially designated certain pools and the open river to be monitored to try to keep an eye on what's going on. Are we doing good or not doing good? And a lot of things improved, level of phosphorus and other contaminants. But, you know, we hear of forever chemicals. You know, well, there's a lot of those out there. Those weren't there when the locks and dams were built, obviously.
Yeah.
The first habitat enhancement and rehabilitation project began, and that was on Lake Unalaska here. And they combined it with a highway project, and they saved the two projects $1.5 million. Because normally, when you dredge material, somebody will say, well, you can put it here, but it's going to cost you. So then the highway project is, yeah, we want the material. Yeah, but you can get it, but it's going to cost you. So what it did is essentially there was no cost for disposal and no cost for receiving it. And that's a big cost because it's a lot of energy and a lot of equipment to move a million yards that way. And we also created some islands in Lake Onalaska, and essentially it created overwintering habitat for fish. That was a really good thing because these days a lot of the additional overwintering habitat that was here when they closed the gates on the lock and dams, it's gone. It's filled in.
Yeah.
Because of all the sediment that's come down the river. Between 2010 and 2019 or 20, we've had huge amounts of snow and rain that obviously brought water into the tributaries, and then the tributaries got it to the river. And of course, out of the tributaries came not just water, but sediment too. It was a real flush that took place in those years. And when we came out of that, a lot of backwater areas were no longer accessible to regular motorboats. And that's when, at least on the Mississippi, the mud motors became very popular and also airboats.
Yeah, okay.
So that dredging project with those, there's two 8,000 foot long channels parallel to each other with some crossovers. That's where you see people doing a lot of ice fishing.
Sure.
And boat fishing.
Yeah. Mark, we've got to take a break here. Will you stay with us and we'll come back and continue this conversation?
Certainly will.
All right. Folks, I'm talking with Mark Schultz. He is a member of a group called Sustain Our River. We've been talking about the impact on the upper Mississippi River from basically the Twin Cities down to the last lock and dam in Illinois. And we'll be back to ask him a few more questions about what's going on with the river. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Listen to more Outdoors Radio online at dansmalloutdoors.com. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. I'm talking with Mark Schultz, a retired UW Extension resource agent for La Crosse County and a member of Sustain Our River, a group of residents, businesses, and field experts interested in a healthy upper Mississippi River. And we've been talking about some of the issues that are threatening the river now, basically a loss of funding due to what's going on in Washington, D.C. And Mark, if I understand it, the river has been managed for more than 100 years. You kind of summarize that. And there are a number of efforts going on now that monitor water quality, that control lampreys in the Great Lakes. And these are in danger of being eliminated because funding isn't there anymore as of, what, about a month from now or so?
The fiscal year for the federal government starts the 1st of October.
Yep.
So the 24-25 fiscal year ends 30 September, and the new one starts the 1st of October and runs through the next end of September. It's not just funding at the federal level, because the states are partners in this. And we just see extreme funding problems for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources to the point where they're now limited in their travel, certainly limited in their budgets, and typically when citizens are meeting, it's in the evening.
Yeah.
But there's no compensatory time for the staff if they go to an evening meeting to be able to balance out their work schedule. So it's not good.
So the threats are multiple, and not only on the federal level, but also on the state level in Wisconsin. Well, let's get back to the federal situation here. We've got about a month and a half before the new budget. What can we do? Is there anything individual citizens can do now in that time frame?
Well, there is time to write your legislator and tell them you're concerned that the river, if it's not managed correctly, will become unhealthy. When my grandmother was alive, she used to call it the Miss Sloppy River because there was no controls on raw sewage or ground up garbage or slaughterhouse waste or anything. So it truly was a river that had some problems to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we still got some today because the unintended consequence of putting the dams on there caused the backwaters to fill, the main channel to fill, and there has to be a way to manage that. protecting the health of the river.
So I suppose in your grandmother's day, people didn't eat the fish from the river, but I regularly eat bluegills from the Mississippi. I have a friend who calls me about every other week. He says, oh, I got some gills. You want some? And he drops a half a dozen real nice bluegills off, and, you know, we have a good lunch.
Yeah, I grew up in northern Wisconsin. I ate bluegills there. Remember, I thought they were good. These fish out of the river are exceptional.
Yeah.
I don't know whether she ate bluegills or not back then.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But there was not a positive opinion about the quality of the water in the river in those days.
Yeah. Well, and when I moved to southern Wisconsin back in the 80s, I had lived up north for 15 years and moved down south in the 80s. People talked about the Milwaukee River in the same way. It was full of carp and half of them were dead. But now it's a very healthy resource with a wide variety of fish species, and the fishing for bass and salmon is excellent. You know, I don't live there anymore, so I don't fish it, but I saw that change, and, you know, the Mississippi is in relatively good shape, even though it's a river of national concern.
It is. It definitely is. But it needs that consistent management to stay in good shape. The money that comes through these programs is to manage the river, but it's the tributaries that are washing the sediment into the river. And that is state and local responsibility under some federal oversight, the 72 Water Quality Act and things like that.
Yeah.
But there seems to be some opinions these days, well, we don't need that. We don't have to worry about that. And that's just wrong. If you don't have clean water, you have a problem.
Oh, yeah. I think most of our listeners would agree with that. Now, you folks, Sustain Our River, are planning to have an information booth at the Family Friendly Outdoor Expo coming up August 23rd through 24th in La Crosse, right?
Right. That's associated with the bass tournament that'll be in town. And so a lot of people like to come and watch them bring the fish in and weigh the fish and hear the stories about where'd I catch this one or how'd I get that one. Or so we're going to be there with a display and with information about how they can contact their congressman or why it's important to support a clean river.
Uh-huh. That's being held at the Logger Stadium, right?
Right. Logger Stadium is the south end of Copeland Park. You come into La Crosse off the interstate, and it's on 35, and it's on the right. You can't miss it.
Okay. And is there a charge for admission to that?
I think for the expo, no. I don't know what the weigh-in thing would be, but I don't think there's any charge for the expo, no.
Yeah, usually those are free because they want a lot of people to come.
People selling fishing tackle and that kind of stuff, maybe. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I know we can't sell anything. We're just there to provide information, and if people want to make a donation, great.
Yeah, okay. The Sustain Our River group is so new, you don't have a website yet, right?
Nope. Hopefully, when Congress fixes this, and then we can go away. Not that we won't stay talking to each other, but we won't have an urgent task to do. Getting people to tell Congress that we need that funding.
Yeah.
We had 100 and some years of investment in the river with all these other things, and now we're going to just walk away? That doesn't make a lot of sense. Because a healthy river means healthy communities, and an unhealthy river is going to lead to people not out there, tourists not out there for sure, and all the businesses and services that are associated with that. There's a website for the whole river talking about all of the cultural and business and recreational and the movement of commodities, just everything. And the website says the value is $1 billion a day that the river produces for the country.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
That is what drives our economy and allows for jobs, and healthy communities need the economic support of industry and business and tourism and conservation. All of that takes money as an investment to make it work. It's not just wishing and hoping, it's actually doing.
Yeah. Well, Mark, thank you so much for sharing all this information with us, and thanks for your work on behalf of the river and really all of us who live anywhere near the river, because we're all affected by what happens on the river. So thank you, and good luck to you and to Sustain Our River. Let's hope that Congress listens and restores that funding.
Yep.
I've got a friend that's got a bumper sticker that's on his refrigerator door, and it says, "Big rivers always win." But how they win determines on a number of things.
Yes, well, let's hope that we can keep the big river healthy.
That's for sure.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Dan.
Folks, that was Mark Schultz. He is a member of Sustain Our River, and as we mentioned, they will have an information booth at the Family Friendly Outdoor Expo August 23rd and 4th at Logger Stadium in La Crosse, and you can learn all about what they're up to. And in the meantime, contact your congressperson, your representative, wherever you are in actually four states. I imagine we might have some listeners down in Missouri, but I know we do in Illinois and Minnesota and Iowa. So if you are in this section of the Mississippi River, get involved, contact your representatives, and let them know that we need those programs funded to keep the river healthy. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Escanaba, and Houghton. As we continue strong into almost 100 years of providing our community with high-quality batteries, we want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the years. We invite you to visit our newest location on Sunset Drive in Waukesha, formerly Challenger Battery. We have batteries from the largest military crafts and industrial machinery to alkaline and the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or the waters. Don't forget to ask our sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with professional hearing care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp telling stories and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Well, it's time for another Madison Outdoor Report brought to you by Pappas Trading Post. They are Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. They're located on State Highway 14 just west of Arena and about a half hour west of Madison. You can also find them online at PappasTradingPost.com. And Pappas is P-A-P-P-A-S, PappasTradingPost.com. Joining us once again is wildlife biologist and Trading Post archery expert, J.C. Chamberlain. J.C., thanks for joining us and welcome back.
Yeah, as always, it's a pleasure to be on.
Well, we are in the middle of August now with a month to go before bow season. Are we at crunch time now?
It definitely is. You know, in my opinion anyway, you want to make sure you give yourself plenty of time to get the bow or crossbow tuned up and ready to go and, you know, make sure that ourselves are, you know, in just as good a shooting shape, for lack of a better word there. Make sure we're ready to go as well.
Yeah, your muscle memory is still letting go at the right time and holding the bow so the arrow doesn't fly off and everything else, right?
Yeah, for such a simple task, sometimes we can make it very, very hard.
Yeah.
So definitely a good thing to get some repetition in there.
All right. Well, what are people seeing now? Trail cameras are out. Most people have them out, and the bucks have got to have just about full antler growth by now.
Yeah, we've been seeing quite a few deer in some pretty good age class as well. Most of the bucks that I've seen are pretty well finished out. You know, there's still been a few that might put on a little bit here towards the end of the month, but for the most part, most of them should be really showing us what they're going to be here coming this fall.
Okay. And what should we be doing? You mentioned getting bows tuned. Is there still time to do that?
There's still plenty of time to get things tuned up and ready to go. Definitely getting closer to that time where it's going to be a little bit more of a push, but plenty of time to do it. And, you know, right now we're still about a month out, plenty of time to get it done and get ourselves, you know, into that shooting shape and make sure everything's flying well and performing well.
Yeah. Now, some of the equipment we haven't talked about really is broadheads and arrows. I would imagine you have a favorite, either a style or a brand of broadheads. What do you prefer?
I prefer expandables. My go-to head is a Grim Reaper. The Carnivore has been my go-to head here for quite a while, especially for deer. And that one's going to be a little bit bigger. So, I mean, shooting bigger game as far as elk, or if you're shooting a little bit lighter poundage or shorter draw length, might not be the head of choice. But I definitely prefer expandables over fixed. I think there's just too many positives to them.
And is it because they cut a bigger path and there's more blood, or what?
Yeah, you get a bigger hole, typically a lot better blood trails, and then just flight in general. Even if you have the most perfectly tuned bow, especially you get in a pressure situation, you know, in the field on a big animal, any little thing that we do can really make a big difference in flight when you've got those vanes or blades on the front with a fixed head.
Mm-hmm.
And I just personally feel that the consistency of an expandable is just that much better and just more trauma. Most everybody is going to be shooting somewhere in that 60 to 65 pound range, some even more. Anything above 60 pounds, I would recommend an expandable. Below that, penetration really does start to become an issue. So typically below 60 pounds is where I would recommend a fixed head.
Okay. That gives us something to gauge anyway. How about shooting practice with broadheads?
That's something that you definitely want to do. Make sure that they're flying well. And I spend myself a fair amount of time shooting them. I'll have a couple either practice heads or just a couple heads that I use to check everything. And we'll shoot them fairly regular, especially as we get closer and closer to season, make sure nothing's changed. But it's not like I'll take one shot with one broadhead and be like, oh, yep, hit where it went, where it wanted it to, and away we go. Because, you know, I usually will check every arrow that I'm going to use in that batch for that season.
So you'll put that practice head on a different arrow and shoot that?
Yeah, or, you know, I'll have multiple practice heads that I just kind of flop through the arrows and go as we go, just to make sure all the arrows are shooting as close to dead to the others as possible.
Yep. When you're shooting broadheads, you don't shoot them into your regular target, do you?
You typically are going to want a broadhead style target. Foam, like Block, Morale has a couple different ones, and they're high rollers. And then like 365 is one that's actually a really good dual target as well. You can do broadheads and expandables. One thing about shooting broadheads, they are going to eat targets up on you.
Yeah, I've noticed
so,
that.
You know, just be aware of that. But I do think it's something that gets overlooked quite a bit and should be done at least on a somewhat regular basis.
They're usually sold in three packs, and some of them come with what you call a practice head, I guess. It's the same design, but it doesn't expand. Do those really fly the same way as the actual broadhead?
Most of them fly very, very close. I mean, close enough that we're not going to be able to tell a difference.
Uh-huh.
I still do like to use at least one or two of the heads just to make sure something could go wrong. We had a situation Randy did a handful of years ago where really big head, and he was shooting 80 pounds at 30 inches. So
wow.
That initial force was causing that to flare enough to pop the blades.
Sure.
You know, where like I could shoot my setup at 27 and a half, 28 inches and 70 pounds and it wouldn't do it. But he was just had so much force that it would actually flare him open. And unfortunately he had a mishap and missed an animal because of it. But
yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
So.
And how about arrow choice with different broadheads? How do you match arrows, you know, the weight and the diameter of an arrow to broadheads?
So for that, I don't really necessarily match that part of it up. The weight of the arrow and even the diameter doesn't really make a giant difference as far as broadhead flight. The big thing is looking at fletchings.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I'm shooting a fixed head and it's a pretty big fixed head, typically I'm going to have a taller vane on the back. So a Blazer hybrid from AAE, the 3-inch, it's actually a 26. Something that's going to be around that half-inch tall or
uh-huh.
even a little bit taller.
Okay.
To really steer that broadhead or help steer that broadhead. If it's expandable, you can get away with, you know, having a shorter vane on there as far as height goes. So something in that, say, 0.4, right around there. But I still usually will do 4-fletch versus a 3-fletch with that shorter vane.
Ah, okay. And feathers or plastic, which do you like?
Plastic all the way. Feathers are going to have the most amount of drag in steering. The problem is for hunting situations, they're very noisy in flight.
Mm-hmm.
And they also, like, do not do very well in weather. So if
right.
you do get some mist or some moisture, that can be a big problem. The biggest thing for me is if you are shooting any yardage at all, that extra drag, I mean, you can have 8 to 10 inches difference at 40 yards from one fletch to the next.
Wow.
With a feather.
Yeah, okay. So, and the plastic then are more consistent one vein to the next.
Yeah, there's not near as much, you know, issue there. Like, the feathers can be very consistent that way. It's just the difference if you took a, say, a 4-inch feather with 3-fletch and you took a 3-fletch Blazer and you shot the same exact arrow, just the fletching is different. You know, at 40 yards, you're going to see roughly 8 inches difference
wow.
in height
yeah.
from one to the other, that Blazer will be that much faster downrange and therefore just carrying that much more energy. And honestly, steering in a broadhead, that's going to give you more than plenty to get it where you want it to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good information. Well, before we let you go, you had a special on cuttyback trail cameras. Is that still going on?
Yep, that's still going on. So we still got the starter kits there, either black flash or IR, so two cameras and a home unit, cell unit, for $299.
Okay.
And that's really good deal there.
That's $100 off.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, next time we talk to you, you will perhaps be back from your trip. You're heading out this week to Utah, is it? You're going to be hunting out there.
Yeah, I'm headed out for some velvet muley and hopefully a shot at an elk as well. Should be a lot of fun.
Well, we hope to hear all about it and success stories.
So do I, absolutely. Yeah. I really, really hope to be successful on this one. Muleys have been kind of my kryptonite. So.
Ah, well, maybe you can take care of that this trip.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Well, good luck. Travel safely and take photos, and we will talk to you on the return.
Yeah, thank you very much, and I look forward to it.
All right. You're quite welcome. Folks, that was J.C. Chamberlain. As you can tell, he knows what he's talking about when it comes to bows and arrows, and he's also a wildlife biologist. He works at Pappas Trading Post. They are on Highway 14 just west of Arena, and about a half hour west of Madison, and you can find them online at pappastradingpost.com. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Step outside, let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Plan some trail riding fun in Florence County. Try the 17-acre ATV park with hills, mud puddles, and dunes near Fisher Lake. Hike to 3 waterfalls from Trail F5, 60-foot breakwater falls, 22-foot LaSalle falls, and Washburn falls. Camping options include several ATV-UTV-friendly campgrounds. Come take a ride. For more info, go to the Recreation tab at exploreflorencecounty.com.
A Blaine's Farm and Fleet original story.
Why is everyone coming on their riding mowers and UTVs?
I figured all the neighbors could use a break from yard work, so I invited them for a...
Ooh, a ride-on lawnmower movie?
Or, as I like to say, a movie.
For beautiful lawns, backyard parties, and everything in between, we've got the values you need to do things your way. Blaine's Farm and Fleet. Be an original.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Jeff Kelm. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com, by Crestliner Boats and crestliner.com, and by Mercury Marine at mercurymarine.com. See the latest Crestliner Boats, Mercury Outboards at Cedar Lake Sales in West Bend. Cedar Lake Sales has a clearance sale going on now on 2025 model boats and pontoons, and they got some real bargains. They're also now taking storage reservations from past storage customers through this Saturday, August 16th, and then on Monday, August 18th, they'll open up reservations to everyone, and they will fill up, so if you want a spot, better contact them right away. And Cedar Lake Sales is hiring. They're looking for a boat detailer and a storage specialist. Look for details on their website. We're also brought to you by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, and Green Bay, profhearingcare.com, by Blaine's Farm and Fleet, serving Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa, and Michigan with 45 locations and everything you need for life in the Midwest. Shop online anytime at farmandfleet.com, and by Huntworth Gear, engineered for performance, available at Blaine's Farm and Fleet and other retailers, huntworthgear.com.
And if our TV show Outdoor Wisconsin is not on the air where you live, you can always watch past episodes at milwaukeepbs.org. And my Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV special, several years of it actually, are archived on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV YouTube channel.
And this show's online as well. You can listen to it anytime you want to by downloading it from lake-link.com. Go to the Outdoor Radio page or go to outdoornews.com/podcasts. And then Dan and I are on social media, Dan Small Outdoors and Hardwater Jeff.
We've said this a couple times, but I'll mention it again. Eligible hunters with disabilities have until September 15th, about a month, to contact and confirm a location for a deer hunt for hunters with disabilities, and that will take place October 4 through 12 this year. For more information, either as a hunter or a landowner, visit the DNR website, keywords, deer hunting for hunters with disabilities. And the Great Lakes Fishery Commission is holding a special screening of a new documentary, The Fish Thief, A Great Lakes Mystery. It's about sea lampreys in the Great Lakes. And the screening is this Sunday afternoon, August 17th, at Schlitz Audubon Nature Center. And if you don't know where it is, it's at the east end of Brown Deer Road in Bayside. That's north of Milwaukee. Doors open at 1:45. The film starts at 2:30, and there's a panel discussion afterwards. To learn more, visit thefishthief.com. And by the way, the website Mark mentioned in my conversation with Mark Schultz is lakeanarehab.org. And Anna is short for Onalaska, lakeanarehab.org. And there are links there to much more information on what you can do to help save the Mississippi River. Lost in the Woods Improv's next show is next Friday, August 22nd at the Black Cat in Ashland. Show starts at 7. Check their YouTube channel, Lost in the Woods, or their Facebook page for more details, and you can see some recent videos. Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. For more on Warren and his music, visit warrennelson.com. I'm Dan Small here with Jeff Kelm. Get outside this weekend wherever you are, and be sure to join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.